An artist's duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. I think that is true of our painters, sculptors, poets, musicians. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's their choice. But I choose to reflect.
Start recording now.
Me as well.
All right. Hey, I'm going to put this into full screen so I can see your face. All right. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Coming at you from the closet once again.
Oop-a-doop-a-doo. You look great. I'm coming at you from the couch. Boop-a-doop.
Another day, another yet another episode of
female gaze.
Just yet another week of feeling like a character in a Sofia Coppola movie.
Too real.
Just lonely woman in a gilded cage.
It's true.
Going about her lonely life.
But actually, though, like, I'm laughing because it's accurate, and I'm also not laughing because, like, I love you, and I hate that.
It's whatever. It's, you know, it's the time.
It's the time, and, you know, in a way, we're all just sitting at the bottom of a closet of our heart. In
our 2020 existence, yeah.
It really, I'm getting to a place where it feels like nothing means really anything anymore. That's why movies are so good. Movies are
absolutely
my motivation right now.
It's all that there is. It's literally, and that is, you know, actually kind of a good transition into our movie this week.
Hey,
we're talking about the Persian film A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yes, bye.
Directed
and written.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Written
and directed by Anna Lily Amanpour. I wasn't sure if it's Anna or Anna, and then I heard her in an interview, and it is Anna.
It is Anna? Okay. I mispronounced it earlier.
Oh, no, you're good. I was mispronouncing it as Anna, because that's exactly how Anna is spelled.
Exactly.
How my Anna is spelled. I don't know. America's a confusing place, but she is Iranian-American, so I guess that's why it's Anna, not Anna. But anyway.
So cool. Now that we have delved into the pronunciation of her first name,
let's delve into her work.
Let's delve into her work. Yes. Pretty freaking impressive to your first, like, debut feature.
Right off the gate.
To have 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
The crowd score, I think, was like 75%. That's incredible.
Yeah, because crowds, normal people suck.
and a lot of, so I did read some of the, like, just, like, normal people reviews of it on there, and they were mostly positive reviews, other than there was one that called it art house garbage.
No.
That was, like, great.
I know what art house garbage is. I've seen it.
Exactly.
It's
and
not
that
this
is not that. Yeah.
This is just good garbage.
You're just telling me you didn't get it.
Right. That is that, but incredible film. That I cannot wait to, like, get into right away, because really this was for me, when it came out in 2014, it was, like, one of the most impactful films for me as an adult in filmmaking. Like, again, another, like, what's the word? Just another kind of reiteration of why I love film and why female filmmakers are so underrated, and like just incredible storytelling without telling too much, if that makes sense. Anna, her style is very much like show, don't tell. So there's like, from the get-go in the movie, we have like imagery of like the wealth disparity amongst the characters. We have like the fracking that's happening in this Iranian community.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. So it's like oil fracking, you know, and like oil stuff. You know, the bad oil, big oil.
Yeah.
But we have this, like, town that's basically being, being sucked dry by oil barons, essentially. And, you know, again, these are things that she's not telling us, like, she's not having it described to us. It's just, like, shown in snippets here and there throughout the film of, like, look at this beautiful house amongst the slum. Like, look at this, you know, beautiful mountains, like, shot of a mountainside right next to, like, all this oil fracking that's happening. Look at this really cool shot. And then we pan over to, like, literally a ditch of bodies. Like, there's just so much contrast in living and, like, disconnection, I think, that she does a really good job at, like, kind of, if you're a mindful watcher, like, you'll pick up on this. And this is definitely not a film that is, like, a passive watch for me. 'Cause you can miss a lot if you watch it passively. She doesn't hold your hand through it. She kind of, like you are stepping inside of a world, whether she cares if you're there or not, you know, it's like, you're kind of entering this universe. But yeah, like modern day Western vibes for sure.
Yes, definitely like spaghetti Western influence for sure. Mm-hmm. At first, whenever you see any time that a movie is in black and white and it's made in modern days, I'm hesitant. I'm very wary of it because I'm like, is this just a device being used for pretentiousness or does it serve the story? And in this case, it definitely does. It's a device for the plot that sort of just like allows this girl who is never given a name ever. And, they just call her the girl, allows her to sort of like slink around, unnoticed, like with the cover of Nightfall being like a character in itself.
Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot of dialogue that happens.
No.
The dialogue is very sparse. It's more about, like, building an atmosphere.
Absolutely, and yeah.
The town sort of, like, has its own, like, tone. Because it sort of feels like the people who live... Because it doesn't seem like... It's not, like, a bustling place. It doesn't seem like a ton of people live there. It's, like, sort of a ghost town. And it sort of, at times, like, feels like these people are, like, lost in time.
Like a purgatory of sorts.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, should we go through the plot?
Yeah, we definitely should. Yeah. So this movie essentially is about two Iranian youths. We have a young boy, well, he's on the cusp of being a man, essentially, named Arash. And he lives at home with his father, who we quickly learn has some sort of drug addiction. It's never...
It's heroin. He's shooting heroin. It's heroin.
It's heroin. Nobody ever, like... says it officially, but
In the first 10 minutes, he shoots up in between his toes.
Yes, absolutely. And so this young boy is living with his widowed father, who is clearly, like, nursing the pain of losing his wife and just, like, the pain of living impoverished life in this, like, city that they call Bad City. And he's definitely using drugs as a form of coping. So his son Arash, who works, does landscaping and little side jobs here and there for wealthy families to make money. Basically, the money is used to keep the two men afloat / enable his father's drug addiction. Then we have the girl, who we don't know much about her. We don't know where she came from. We can gather she lives alone. Basically the girl, she stalks people at night. She just kind of follows them.
Specifically men.
She stalks men at night, which then you will soon come to find that she is hunting, because the girl is a vampire who specifically preys on men that prey on women. It's mm-hmm. a whole thing. It's like a...
She's like a Dexter vampire.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So she tries to use her hunger and her needs kind of in a vigilante sense mm-hmm. of like saving... kind of keeping watchful eye over the prostitutes in the town, or sex workers and things like that. And also there's, although they don't delve too much into this, there's a trans character as well, who isn't, we don't get to know their name or their story, but we can gather that the purpose of them being there is kind of as a, like, another... indication of, like, people that are being used by men, and she has kind of become, like, a watchful guardian over these people, whether they're aware of it or not, which is that that's how she gets away. It's, like, she comes across very waif-like, very, you know, unsuspecting. But I was one of the most incredible... parts about Sheila Vand, who plays the girl. She designed the character specifically with Anna Lily Amanpour. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that they just sat down one night and, like, studied videos of cats and snakes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of her character's movements and physical, like, acting is based off of, like, these predator type animals that are very
okay.
that mimic their prey as a source of or as a way of like intimidation, which you definitely mm-hmm. see in the movie.
Yeah, she mirrors that guy on the street.
Yes. Just the way this character is able to like switch from unsuspecting girl to like this. Like almost animalistic type creature, like it's such a cool shift, and I feel like it happens so subtly, and then when you're aware of it, you're like, oh my god, like mm-hmm. it's very intense. But the plot kind of comes to some sort of cohesive head when these two characters, Arash and the girl, eventually cross paths.
Yes. Arash ends up quitting his job and stealing a bunch of money and drugs from Saeed, the drug dealer, who, like, initially was the one who got his father hooked on heroin and was just generally an evil dude. The girl took care of it.
Also,
she took care of it. Yeah. And so he took a bunch of money and drugs from him and decided he was going to start selling drugs to make money. And he goes to this costume party dressed as Dracula and ends up doing some ecstasy. And the way that that's filmed is really cool. Like, with, like, there's a bunch of, like, weird zooms and...
And some strobes.
It just feels very, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, disjointed?
For? Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, very, very, yeah, because the whole scene is filmed in, yeah, like, this nightclub, but it's still, keep in mind, it's still black and white. And so we're getting, like, these flashes of strobes, but it's just, like, white light. And we're getting, like, imagery of, like, the upper class group there that are dancing, having fun, doing X. And, you know, Arash is kind of feeling, like, part of, I think, a community for the first time. Like, he's feeling welcomed because now he's, like, got all this money and he's dealing them drugs and all this stuff. And then he romantically tries to... make the moves on this one girl who he was working for their family, and she kind of like cuts that off, and so he meanders back home feeling, well, drugged up and feeling, you know, rejection at its finest. And that's when he runs into the girl who is, you know, doing her nightly hunt, and from that point, I think she's very taken by his costume, obviously, because he's dressed as a vampire. And I think she's also expecting just your usual run-of-the-mill bad guy. Because I think that's a big piece of this, is that all the men, apart from Arash in the story, are very, like, broken men who... use women as a commodity of sorts to heal themselves, whether it be through the prostitution or having them take care of them and things like that. And women, and there's a lot of like you'll catch glimpses of like dialogue on the TV. And again, it's another like great example of Anna doing the show don't tell of like, this is a very sexist, very boxed-in community that these women have to live in, of being seen as essentially just walking subhumans and like servers for the men in their lives. And I think the girl is expecting. Expecting him to be the same, but one of the first things he says to her is, oh, don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you, because you know that it's nighttime, they're alone on a street. And you know, obviously she hears that cautiously, but also I think, you know, they're living in a place where men don't necessarily have to even give women that kind of warning, if that makes sense. Like, oh, I'm not gonna hurt, you know, like, it's just kind of accepted that women kind of bend to whatever the men in their lives need. And then he, like, feels her, and being a vampire, she's freezing, and so he wraps his cape around her, like, and, like, she can just tell immediately that, like, there's no bad intentions here. Like, he just happened to walk upon her, and...
She can also tell that he's very fucked up.
Yes.
And because he sits down and she's like, dude, you can't sit here. You can come to my apartment. You can sit there.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I can't stand up. So she pushes him on her little skateboard that she stole from a kid. That I think she stole the skateboard from the kid because she was just like trying to instill some fear in him, like a healthy amount of fear, so that he like doesn't grow up and become an asshole.
Right, which was like another thing that I picked up on this time that I didn't really notice upon other viewings, of like she never warns any of the men that she attacks that she is about to attack them. Like, there's no real warning. Mm-hmm. I would say the most warning is when she is about to feed off of the drug dealer and she shows him her fangs, but, like, that's kind of the gist of it. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, you're getting your just desserts, you know, there's no, like, thing like right. that. Whereas with the boy, she knows that he's still innocent. So she's, like, he is the only, like, man apart from Arash that she is willing to speak to, if that makes sense. Like, she's willing to talk to him because she wants to be a force of change in whatever the course of his life, like, whatever course his life takes. She wants to dissuade him from being one of these many men that she eventually comes to feed on.
Right.
So, yes, she gives him, and that's, like, one of the scariest scenes in the film, and, like, nothing even really happens there, but she, like, instills the fear of God in him. It's, like, right. so good and terrifying. And also, that's another really cool detail about our character, the girl. Like, she's a vampire, but she doesn't really fly. Her mode of transportation slowly starts to become this skateboard. And she has, you know, she wears her headdress with it. And it's just, like, cinematically one of the most pleasing things to watch on screen. Just, like, a girl going, like, down a road in a big cape, essentially, with a skate. It's just, like, nothing hotter.
Just off the top, it's just, like, wow, she's just really badass. Like,
yeah, and exactly, and, like, that's just one of the beautiful things about this film of, like, kind of, I guess, continuing to, like, dismantle these ideas about what women can be and what they can't be and all these things like that of, like, you just don't really know necessarily what the trajectory of her character is gonna be, which I liked, because I feel like in so many films, like, you can assume, especially as it becomes romantic between the two leads, I feel like Anna takes such a stepped back approach to that, whereas I feel like a lot of directors would have really went hardcore with the romance, and turned that into, like, the focal point of the film, and then the conflict kind of, I guess, like, persuading that in whatever way, but, like, for this movie, it feels like the romance aspect of it is not, like, the peak or, like, the climax or even, like, the most important part. But that's true of life, too, which is what I liked of, like, because it would be doing the film a disservice with all the other messages it's trying to show if it had turned into just, like, oh, it's like a vampire romance film, like,
ooh, right.
It's like Twilight, like, you know. Right. Whereas this was, like, the romance plays a piece, yes, but it's very subtle and it, I don't know where I was going with that. It's good. Just watch it because
it's good.
And, yeah. Also,
well, because she sort of just, like, is used to leading a really lonely life. Mm-hmm. In Bad City, she mostly just, like, listens to music alone and goes out for her hunts every night. Like, we can sort of assume, like, she probably does. There's no indication of, like, her having a job or any sort of, like, friends or anything. And it sort of seems like there's not really much else to do in the city. Because it does give, like, a very ghost town vibe, and, like, sort of, like, everyone who is there was sort of, like, left behind or lost in time, just, like, sort of, like, they're still like hanging on to like the promise of a future or some sort of hope.
Yes.
But there's not really a progress is not a thing that lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
right. No, it's definitely like, I think like it feels like a vortex that you get sucked
yeah.
into to live there. Like there is no hope available to them even in this place. Like it's
yeah.
Like you said before, it just feels like being lost in time. And I think that was another reason why the director chose to do it in black and white, because
it can just be timeless and iconic.
Exactly.
And
yes. And also it is able to give the impression of, okay, yes, this is a dead town essentially, but not take away like from the beauty that can still exist within that. And I think that was mm-hmm. a very specific style choice of like, yes, we want to show kind of the deterioration and the ghost townness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And black and white not only can like push that forward, but it can also kind of maybe smooth the edges to make it a little more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But also not take away from like the takeaway. Not take
right.
away from the takeaway.
Right. Right, right, right.
But yeah, and I loved like this idea, because I feel like in a way it is turning a spaghetti western on its head of like, you're expecting maybe Arash to kind of have that role of being like the cowboy that kind of comes in to save the day, but really I feel like it's her. Like, she is the new sheriff in town that's coming to, like, kind of give people their just desserts and, like, also speak truth to those who are needing to hear it. At one point, the girl becomes close with a prostitute, and she tells her, you know, like, I can't remember. She says, I don't think you remember wanting.
I wrote down the whole quote because
yes.
it was really good. She said, you're sad. So she asked her, like, what, you've been watching me, what have you learned
mm-hmm.
from watching me? She said, you're sad, you don't remember what you want, you don't remember wanting. It passed long ago and nothing ever changes.
Ooh.
And I was like, damn. And her response to that was, idiots and rich people are the only ones who think and change things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, that really, like, just sort of reinforces the place that they're in this fictional town called Bad City, is that there is no, like, hope for changing, and she just like sort of is in limbo existing there. And then it's revealed that she's saving money because she wants to get out, because that's the only hope of doing anything is just to move.
Right.
And I was like, relatable for
oh,
growing up in a small town.
Oh, truly. Oh, too real. Yes, yeah, exactly. And again, it's like this. I don't want to ostracize any listeners that are from the male persuasion, but I really feel like this film, if you think about it, like all the male characters are these very like broken men in different ways. That are like searching for something, but the women in the film are these very strong, stoic characters that are just trying to survive. And it's like, I don't know. I appreciated like this having the female characters kind of be the strong ones with the nuggets of wisdom, with the truth. Because I feel like in reality that can be true as well. Like, women carry so much emotional labor, perform so much emotional labor and carry so many things on their back, just because that's what we are conditioned to do in society, is to be a support. And I liked how in this one it was showing that, but not in the appealing light that a lot of movies or directions that men might take with it. It's like, no, yes, the women are the only form of like respite and solace that these men have, whether it's through sex or just through company, but they don't want to be. Like, they don't want to be there. And I thought that was really interesting. And there was one line that had me thinking about the rest of the film, because even, like, the young girl from the rich family that Arash works for as, like, a landscaper at the beginning of the film, she says, "This pill is nothing without you," talking about the ecstasy that she is having him take with her. And it had me thinking about, like, even the, quote, good guys in the movie are also enabling the kind of patterns of things that are happening there, because Arash, who is essentially, like, a protagonist, he's a good guy, but he knows how bad this drug dealer is. He knows this drug dealer is killing his father, in a sense, by providing him heroin. He knows that this drug dealer abuses women, and he knows that he is a pimp and all these things, and yet he cowers to him. He doesn't stop him, and in fact, not only does he enable him by continuing to keep him in business by buying heroin for his father, but then when the drug dealer passes away, after the girl murders him, essentially, then Arash takes on that role for himself. He steals all the drugs and the money and goes on continuing to deal drugs as his new venture. And so it's like this weird... and I know you'll really like this thing, but it's like this passing of the torch that I'm thinking about the Fiona Apple song.
Relay race. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch.
Exactly. And I feel like that's also the issue of Bad City and why it's able to be like this festering wound in the middle of nowhere. It's like men are just continuing, like, instead of, they just continue to enable each other's behavior. But yeah.
I like the way that the shots are very indulgent and long, in a very Lynchian sort of way. To quote him, "Who gives a fucking shit how long a scene is?"
Yes. if it's good, it's good.
And so it's just like a lot of beautiful, really long shots of just like an aesthetically pleasing thing, or just like a snapshot of time, essentially, because it does feel suspended in time and very much like a moving painting, or like a strip in like a comic, you know?
Yes.
Or
yeah,
not a comic, but like a graphic novel sort of thing. I love that. It's visually very powerful. And I think it was shot anamorphically because of the way the lights... Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was. It was shot anamorphically by Lyle Vincent, was the cinematographer, and he also did the movie Thoroughbreds, and he also did Bad Batch.
I've not seen those yet.
I haven't seen Bad Batch all the way through yet. I have seen Thoroughbreds, fantastic movie.
Okay.
Also recommend another femme force type film. But yes, no, Lyle Vincent is hands down, because of this movie, he is one of my top cinematographers because of this movie, if that persuades anyone to watch it for that reason alone. Also, speaking of long shots, can we talk about the scene, the scene after Arash and the girl meet for the first time?
And there, yes, okay, so she puts on that. The soundtrack is really incredible, too. Yes. I would, it's very, like, I didn't know any of the songs, but it felt very much like being on Tumblr in 2011 and listening to, like, a lot of Interpol. And
it's
like, all very, like, Interpol adjacent types of artists.
Yes, and honestly, I think, like, I was in a weird Interpol, like, obsession. Not, like, like, I had just seen them in concert around when this movie came out. So it was like, oh!
When worlds collide.
When worlds collide. No, so, yeah. Yeah, but continue.
But yeah, they go back to her apartment, and he sits on her bed. He's still on drugs, and she loves to dance, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got that. Oh my god, I just forgot the word. Disco ball.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I just had a stroke.
No, it's okay. I forgot the word. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. She's got that disco ball, and it's, it feels like you're, like, walking into, like, a teen girl's room. She's very much, obviously, like, in her 20s. But it's, like, a teen girl's room with, like, a shrine to, like, celebrities and, aesthetics and stuff, and she loves music, she loves dancing, and she just, like, I don't know, she's, like, surrounding herself with, like, people on her walls, but, like, she's very lonely, and, yeah, just the two of them together, that was, like, a dance in itself.
And it's such a beautiful scene, and there's so many scenes of her, like, there's, like, the creature part of her, and then the heart of her, and, like, you see that, like, her wanting things, her mimicking other people around her, not in necessarily the hunting sense, but, like, you know, definitely, like, we have homages to, like, 80s films of, like, girls putting on their makeup to music, and, like, these montages, and, you can tell she really wants, like, some sense of, like, connection and normalcy, but it also feels foreign to her.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Like, we're not really given any, like, insight into, like, her past. Like, how did she come to be a vampire? So we don't know if, like, this has been her existence forever, if she was, like, turned. We don't know, like, the life cycle of a vampire in this world.
Yes, yeah, the mythology here for what vampires can and are is so not hashed out at all.
Right, right. She's just, like, the disambiguation of a vampire.
Exactly,
like.
Which
She has things. Yeah, and she doesn't eat hamburgers.
Yes. Yes. But she does eat fingers.
Oh god, I'm at the end of my coffee and it's grainy.
No. And then I said fingers and it was just like double whammy.
Delicious.
Yummy. Also another fun, like, I think little tidbit was if you look at, like, the tattoos that the drug dealer has.
He just has sex on his neck.
So, yes, he just has the word sex written across his neck.
I love that, like, this is a Persian film. Everyone is speaking Farsi. And it's sex in English. Just
right.
It's funny.
It's so good. But also, I thought it was, like, upon looking at the tattoos, they're all kind of very, like, not that tough looking. Very, very, like, whimsical. And I feel like, in a way, that that was, like, and maybe this is my overthinking brain, but, like, I feel like that was, like, some subtle messaging, like, some subliminal stuff going on there of, like, yes, he looks tough, because from afar you see this guy covered in tattoos and piercings, and he's shirtless and all this stuff, but if you get up closer, it's just, like, ridiculousness. It's, like, not, it's, like, a joke. Which I feel
what
like...
What were his tattoos?
Well, they were, like, I don't know, like, just, like, weird cartoony stuff. The sex one was the most apparent to me. I couldn't stop, but, like, yeah, it's, like, not... Like, I feel like it was almost, like, again, another reiteration of, like, men maybe have this role of, like, being in power and being in control, but really on the inside... they're broken, or they're, you know, like, honestly, a kind of a joke. Like, this guy, he is kind of a joke. He is, like, the most ridiculous drug dealer. Like, at one point, the girl goes to his apartment, and this is the fatal visit that he has with her. But she goes to his apartment, and, yeah, like, his way, he's, like, trying to seduce her. And his way of doing that is just, like, a bunch of ridiculous things. Like, he pulls out some dumbbells, and he's just, like, doing some weight training in front of her for, like, a second. And then when he's like, oh, that's clearly not working, then he starts, like, dancing for her and doing body rolls towards her. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, not – and it just, again, felt like this guy who is feared by so many and has this, like, hold on the town in different ways because he's a pimp and he's a drug dealer and he's this and he's that. He's really not that tough or scary at all. And, like, she's far more frightening and more more formidable of an opponent than he could ever be. Which, again, I think was, like, such a cool... I don't know if this was Anna's intention, but, like, it felt like a cool, another little, like, peek in, like, the women kind of hold the backbone of this story. Like, the women are the stabilizers, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it's good. It's good stuff.
It's very good stuff. Yeah. So, for being a vampire movie, it doesn't, you know, stick with all of the, like, tropey stuff that makes vampire movies very boring to me. Mm-hmm. It's, like, sort of labeled as a horror movie, but it's really not horror. I wouldn't call it horror.
I wouldn't call it horror. No.
It's sort of like a mixed genre thriller, maybe. Mm-hmm. Not even really, like, suspenseful. It's more just, like, beautiful Western situation.
Yeah, it truly does feel like a Western of sorts. And that feels, as weird as that is to say about, like, a feminist vampire movie being classified as a Western, like, that feels the most accurate to describe it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You can watch it if you get, you can get a 7-day free trial on Shudder and watch it for free.
Yes. Or buy it because it's worth it, in my opinion.
Or buy it. Yes, you can do that as well.
It's on Amazon. For purchase.
Guillotine Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
But you can purchase it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like I need to watch more of her movies.
I know.
Because I haven't seen the other two that you mentioned.
So she didn't do Thoroughbreds. She just did Bad Batch.
I had heard of Bad Batch. I hadn't even heard of Thoroughbreds.
That came out fairly recently. It actually, I think, was one of the last films that... his name is escaping me. He passed away at like a tragically young age. Anton Yelkin.
Okay.
Yeah. This was like one of the last movies he started.
Write it down.
Yeah,
but, that was crazy. He got crushed by his Jeep.
Yeah. That felt surreal when that news came out. There's no way.
No way.
Yeah, but Thoroughbreds, another really great film. Incredible soundtrack. Incredible.
Yeah, I definitely want to, listen to the soundtrack from this movie again, because that was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and listeners, I know that Spotify has several, public playlists for the film. If you're curious, a lot of Iranian music, Persian music was used throughout the film, so that's another cool aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, 10 out of 10.
Just, watch the shit.
Just, watch the shit.
Just fucking watch it,
Hashtag watch it.
Watch it.
But yeah, so good. If you are needing if you are just needing some beautiful aesthetics, some girl power, if you're needing some cinematography fix, if you're needing set design fix, if you're needing a guy who looks vaguely like James Dean fix.
Yes.
If you're needing a transgender cowgirl balloon dance intermission fix, this movie has it all.
It's got it all. It truly has a little bit of everything. Yes. All right, watch the movie. Bitches. Or else.
Or we will find you.
We will skateboard around at night and murder you. All right, thanks for listening. This has been a great episode. Love you guys.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, love you. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
So I don't think you have a choice. How can you be an artist and not reflect the times? That to me is the definition of an artist.
The music for today's podcast is The Definition by CJ.
You can find more of his music at cjmakesbeats.bandcamp.com.